Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. This video was taken originally off of youtube.com/Hashnasi, that's Hotel Oscar Sierra Hotel, November Alpha Sierra India. I stream every Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, on all topics related to ham radio. Without further ado, let's get started. All right, win, lose, or draw, we're coming at you live on Facebook. It's the Ham Radio Crash Course. Got a special little ad hoc-y type video I'm making on FT8 Fox and Hound mode, or known as D-Expedition mode. I kind of fell into a pretty deep hole going after the Baker Island D-Expedition, and I thought I would do a video on it since... Oh, you know what? I need my Yaesu hat. I gotta get my Yaesu hat. I'm gonna be working on an ICOM radio, so I better have... You know, a little bit of brand competition with the Yaesu hat. Okay, so Baker Island, D-Expedition, somewhere in between me and Australia, closer to Australia, right by the international dateline. And they've got this nice little setup where they're running FT8 along with RIDI, CW, and single sideband. Now, I like FT8. I like FT8 a lot. I think everybody understands that. But D-Expedition mode is a special mode you have to put your FT8 software into to be able to participate in FT8. So real quick, FT8, pretty simple. Everybody hops on one frequency, and within a couple thousand hertz of each other on a waterfall, people will call CQ, people will respond, and they have a couple back and forth conversation. One sends a report, the other sends a report, and you're done. That's how you make a contact in FT8. Well, D-Expedition mode doesn't work that way. Fox and Hound mode doesn't work that way. So I'm going to try and help everybody out on D-Expedition mode. The advice I'm going to give you is going to work the same whether you're trying to work Baker or any other D-Expedition or any other, you know, highly sought after contact. It's going to work the same if they're trying to work FT8. So this is what FT8 looks like. I think everybody's familiar with this. I happen to be running, this is set up on 15 meters right now, chasing the Baker Island QSO. Let me fix my camera a little bit. Now, I was not successful in getting Baker. Did somebody say they're in Bangkok? Hello from Bangkok? Wow, that's awesome. So I wasn't successful on 15 meters, but I have been able to get them on 17 meters, 20 meters, and 30 meters. And I have opinions, I have best practices on why I think that's the case, and I'm going to walk you through them today. First, let's hit the web. All right, so this is the KH1 KH7Z webpage on the bands that they are working for the Baker Island D-Expedition. What we're most interested in is the vertical right side stripe that goes from 80 meters all the way down to 6 meters. Those are the frequencies for FT8. Those are non-standard frequencies for FT8 in default mode. So to go into D-Expedition mode, you're going to need to activate or add those frequencies to WSJTX, okay? So that's the first step. We're gonna go ahead and get the settings straight for WSJTX, assuming that you've got FT8 working already. I made a video on working FT8. I'll post a link in the description. You guys can go check that out. You need to have that working at least before you try and activate on D-Expedition mode. All right, so without further ado, let's hop back over. So we're going to bring up preferences. And the preferences are going to be the same whether you're on a Mac or a PC. So just want to make that. So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to slide over to frequencies here. Now, Baker Expedition had a whole list of frequencies that they want you to work. We're going to add them. In my case, I already have added them, but I'm going to show you how it's done. It's very simple. In the frequency box, you're going to right-click, hit Insert. Here, you're going to just leave All. You want to set the mode to FT8. WSJTX has a series of modes that it supports, so you want to make sure you select the right one. And then in frequency, you're going to type in the frequency, whichever one you're trying to add. In this case, let me pull up the Baker. Let me slide this over for a second. Can I do this? Nope, that's not going to work at all. We tried. So, for example, 1490 is 20 meters. You need to make sure you put the period in there. 14.090. Otherwise, WSJTX is going to think that it's a really high frequency and it's going to think you're way past 2 meters, right? So make sure you put the point in there or it's not going to work. So you're just going to do that over and over again until you populate all of the frequencies that Baker Island expects you to do. Then you're going to hop over to advanced and you're going to make sure you hit hound in the box here. Uncheck, check hound, okay? What hound does is it makes WSJTX a little bit less automated in the way that you run through a QSO, okay? So make sure you have hound mode on. Don't go on a regular FT8 frequency when you have hound mode on. It's going to make things very, very confusing. Go back to general. Make sure that you select monitor returns to last use frequency. Make sure you have that checked. Just as a side note, since we're here, I leave TX messages to RX frequency window on. I leave show DXCC entity and worked before status. Leave that on. That's more of an FT8 standard mode thing. Double click on call sets to TX enable. You want that because you're going to double click on that call sign when you see it for the DX entity. And you're going to disable TX after sending 7.3. You don't really need that because, again, you're operating in DXpedition hound mode. So it doesn't really affect you. Make sure you have your call sign and your zone in. So once you have your frequencies loaded up and you have the configuration set, it really comes down to how you operate. Now, I was hoping that we might be able to see some activity. You can see, though, my waterfall at the top of the screen. How Fox mode, so put yourself in the mindset of the Fox. You are the station that's being chased. In DXpedition Fox mode, you can have, I believe, up to 5 or 6 concurrently running instances of FT8, all working their own QSOs. And it kind of splits up your power of the radio, of your transmit capability, across these 5 different slices within FT8. And what it uses is everything under the 500 hertz area of FT8. So when you're looking at the waterfall, you want to make sure, where's my mouse here? Come on, buddy. You want to make sure, in fact, let me move my logo out of the way so you guys can see it. I'll slide it down here. So from the 0 to 400, 500 hertz, that's the space for the Fox. You don't want to be in there. So you might be saying to yourself, I don't even know how I get in there. How do I do that? Well, what I like to do, my radio likes around 1500 hertz. So I right click right by 1500 hertz and I say set TX and RX offset. Now you're going to see a red bracket and then a green bracket, right? And they're going to line up on top of each other. Red is your transmit, green is your receive, okay? So what I like to do is I like to set down here in the RX box, I like to change that to 300. This just helps me, 300. When you hit enter, it's going to start to transmit. Make sure you turn that off. Out on your transmitter too. So now you have the green U in the mid-ish area of where the Fox is going to start to transmit. So you're listening on that frequency. And you've got your transmit set somewhere to 1500. WSJTX will move your transmit frequency above 1000 hertz if you put it somewhere below 1000 hertz. Don't be this guy, going back to my opening, don't be the guy who sets their transmit frequency on the frequency of the Fox you're receiving. Don't be that guy. How do you avoid that? You must operate in split mode, which I should just go ahead and show you what that looks like. Go back to preferences. Wrong preferences. Apologies there. We don't want OBS. We want WSJTX. Go to radio. In split mode, you want to run rig or fake it. I run rig. I have an ICOM 7300. It works fine. Okay, you definitely need to run fake it at least, though, because that allows you to separate the two. You don't want to be transmitting on the frequency that FT8 is transmitting on. You will make people very angry. Okay, because again, DXpedition, right? They're out somewhere far. You could be between the people that are trying to hear that entity, and you could be like beaconing out on the same frequency, muddying it up for everybody else. FT8's pretty smart. WSJTX is smart, but you don't want to cause that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hop over to 40. I'm doing this blind, hoping for the best. So I'll check my frequency. It is 7045, 7.05. For 40, wait, what is it? Oh, 5.6, sorry, 7.056. And we're gonna turn up the volume a little bit. So I haven't had good luck on 40 with FT8. So what we're doing right now is the waiting game. The hound is waiting for the foxes to appear. So you've got your transmit frequency set. I set mine to 1500. And we're going to receive everything. We want to hear everything that's 500 hertz and below. I could be wrong. It could be 500 or 400 hertz. But either way, you're looking at the waterfall in that space. You're looking for the little... You're looking for that little box right here. See that box? See this guy? Those little rectangles are that little chunk of 15-second time of FT8 talking. It's the digital data that your computer's receiving, and that's what it looks like on the waterfall. You're looking for very faint boxes like that, much fainter than that, on that 500 and lower hertz space, okay? So you pull yourself a glass of something, alcoholic or non-alcoholic, and you wait. That's literally what you do. Or if you're like me and you're impatient, particularly when the DX expedition first started, I hopped all over the bands just looking. During the day, of course, I was in the higher bands, and at night I was in the lower bands. Hope I'm not muddying you guys out with the background noise there. Anyway, so we're not seeing anything on 40, so let's make sure we've got 80, 35, 67. And I do. So you're going to pick up some CW here because you're in the digital area. And I've got pretty okay conditions. So we're just going to listen here for a second. We're not seeing any squares, we're not seeing anything like that. 20 meters is probably popping. I want to show you what it looks like, particularly if they're working it. We already have 20 though, so I don't need it. That's FT8. So FT8 is broken up in two 15-second time slices. The fox will be on one, and the callers, the hounds, will be on the other. This is the fox 15 seconds, because you don't hear anything. That is the hounds. You can hear them. Good way to keep in mind is that in a proper de-expedition type setup, you're going to hear very few foxes and lots of hounds. I was picking up Baker at negative 24 dB. If you know FT8, that is extremely in the noise. They were coming back at me with anywhere between 4 and plus 6 on my QSO. So that's what you're dealing with as far as propagation goes. They're going to be so in the dirt, in the noise, you really just need to give your radio every opportunity to pull those signals out. So make sure no filtering is on. Make sure that you have, I turn off all DSP. I don't do anything other than when I'm in the higher frequencies, 20 or higher, I use the preamp if I need to pull those signals out. I try to do that. I haven't been successful on 40 or 80 yet, but I do use the attenuator to kind of help things out a little bit for the AGC. I do it in both ways. I try it both ways. Now, let me show you. Hopefully, we'll see a good example of this. So, let me draw this back up there. So the left-hand side is all the requests going out. You'll notice a trend. The message bodies all start with KH7Z. That's the station being called by the hounds. And then it's followed by the hounds' call sign. And then following that is your locator, your grid square, your locator, whatever you want to call it. Basically, your receive band activity is going to be saturated with people calling out for the foxes. Calling. This is kind of a problem, and I'll explain why. Let me turn this down a little bit. A lot of people are just doing this without actually hearing the foxes. I'm pretty positive this is the case because I've seen people do it, and they're using a call sign that's in Connecticut. And I'm in California, and I'm not hearing the fox. I don't have the greatest antenna, but I'm pretty sure that I would hear the fox. Now, I know band conditions can affect things pretty significantly, but another key indicator that they're probably not being honest and they're calling in the blind is that sometimes they'll throw a report in trying to, juice the system, and they'll have the receive report as very low, negative 10, negative 12, very, very low if they're calling from Connecticut, if they're picking up the fox in Connecticut, right? Very low power. So, what's up, Jeff Horton, responder and storm spotter? Hi, Caleb Ruddle. Hi from Tennessee. Got my first HF rig today. Oh, well, good timing. Why don't you tell me what you got? What'd you get as far as your HF rig? Sorry, I was neglecting the chat. I just wanted to get this information out there as fast as possible for the people that are using FT8. Now, if you don't get a Baker contact, sorry about that. But these settings and the operation of FT8 is going to be effective for pretty much future de-expeditions. I would like to point out that I am using 1.91 version of WSJTX, and the Baker Island de-expedition really requested everybody get on that frequency or on that version, and they're still having trouble getting people to adhere to it and appropriately use the right software. So make sure you get the right software. Caleb got an ICOM 718. Very good. Yeah, 86 DM Dennis. Yes, you should. And if I remember correctly, are you on the northwest coast? I would like to point out too, I think that they're wrapping things up on the 4th of July. So if you can, try to work those stations soon. Now, while we're waiting, we're not seeing a lot of activity. We might hop around a little bit more. While we're waiting, I want to show you something. This is Club Log. Clublog.com or .org. It's free to join, and you can go to Expeditions on the top of the page, and you can select Baker Howland Islands, and you can click on it. You can enter your call sign, and it'll tell you who you've worked. Now, that means they've uploaded that log, so you have a pretty good, you have a reasonable sense that you made it in their logs. That's good. That's what you want. So you can see I haven't tried to work them on anything but FT8, and that's not for lack of trying. I can't hear them on single sideband. Not a big fan of RIDI, and my CW still needs work. I can hear them on CW, but oh boy, those pileups! I am not prepared to deal with that. My skills are not up to par for that. FT8 though, I'm a sniper. I'm a crack shot on FT8. Although I didn't get 15. I heard them on 15, but I didn't get them. Why don't we go back to 15? 15 is 21,091. Not much there. Now, it's dark where they're at, so I don't expect 15 to be a very good for a band to work right now. In fact, it sounds like people have abandoned it. So I did see a note. So I'm gonna go to Photos. Photos had a photo blog, and I think they said something. We will also try normal mode on July 3rd. Okay, so we're not there yet. Our pilots, they have 40,000 QSOs in the log as of today. That's pretty good. July 3rd, if successful, we will stay on 160 through the night, giving Eastern a shot. We're still getting a lot of FT8 callers using the wrong software. Also, we hope to activate 60 meters FT8 on July 4th. So very cool. They're trying to spread out the bands. I pulled them out on 17 meters the first day that they were active, which was awesome. That thing just came right through. I think I was one of the first couple of people on FT8 to pull that in. Not that it's a competition, but very, very strong. 86DM Dennis, I'm in Central California. Right on, buddy. That's right. That's right. That's where you are. All right. So, again, we're not getting a lot of activity. That's okay. But I do like to hop around. So, going back to our operating plan here. It's sometimes more fun when you still need more of the bands they're operating on. 60 is 5357. Did I set that up? I did not. So why don't we do that? Okay. 5.357. Is that right? Yes. And you get confirmation. 5.357, 357, baby. 60 meters, it says in parentheses. You want to see that. And let's take a shot in the dark. I hear tone. I hear something. 60 meters is a little freaky. I gotta be careful operating here. So it sounds like we've got some digital modes that we're pulling up. That is not FT8. Liam Crab? Hey Hosh, got my tech license a few weeks ago. I have to get a base mobile set up for my work since my Baofeng doesn't work very well from inside my house. Can't wait. Nothing more fun than buying new radios. Well, that's a load of nothing. If you have any questions regarding FT8, go ahead and post them in the chat. I'll work on that while we go here. Carl, what's up, Carl? Carl Ng's in the house. All right. So nothing seems to be happening on 60, which is fine. It is what it is. I really want that 40, though, to be honest with you. 40 I want. I think I can get 40. I don't have any confidence in 80 or 160. My antenna just... I think I can work 80 with it, but I'm not confident I will get a successful QSO with it. Oh, I guess I can show you this. Ooh, dramatic radio and I am drinking a Trader Joe's boxed red wine. Just a simple little drinker. Not the greatest, but it's all right. So we're looking at 40 meters care of my ICOM 7300. So the middle line is where I'm motioning towards the camera like you can see me, but the middle of the waterfall is what we're monitoring, and those vertical lines that were just played, that was a station calling, and you can see the waterfall up in the top at around the 1000 hertz to the right of the 1000 hertz. That was actually that station. DKG, what's the local time there? Because I am streaming late today. Today is 10 o'clock local time. Tell me what is your QTH. Or maybe you're up early. So are you in the UK? UK? Huh? Bet it's the UK. So in parallel, I think this is kind of cool. In parallel, I'm also monitoring slow scan television for the International Space Station flyovers. So this is running in the background. This is the last picture that I copied, which was like on the first day. I've had garbage passes since then. So my computer is connected up via aux cable on the receive side of my VHF UHF rig, and I'm using Multiscan 3B on the Mac. Not a great program, but I'll take what I can get. So we're getting a lot of activity, well, not a lot, comparatively a lot, on WSJTX. That's what those little vertical rectangles are that are coming down the screen. Notice that they're spaced with a black space in between them. That's every 15 seconds. So the hounds are calling and the foxes are not responding. Now, on the left hand of the screen, you'll notice lots of calls to KH7Z, no responses. So, also an interesting point here. They're all just calling with their grid square, okay? The only one who is actually has a so the way it works, let me turn back my camera here so you can see. The way it works is they call CQ and their call sign and their grid square. We already know their call sign and their grid square. We're just looking for their call sign to come up as being decoded by our stations. And then we start calling them. And what the hounds call, again, is the call sign of the fox, your call sign, and your grid square. That's all people are doing right now, meaning nobody's decoding them. They're just calling into the dark, as it's called. The foxes are then supposed to pick out one of these multiple operators that are trying to reach them, if they can, on one of the five or so, call it copies, threads, simultaneously operating stations within WSJTX. And they will reply to that call from the hound with their report. It will be a hound call sign, the fox call sign, then an R with a number. In most cases, when you're talking about de-expedition, that R will be a negative number, an R of negative zero or just zero through the worst I've gotten so far has been with Baker Island, negative 24 dB. If the hound receives that signal report, that tells WSJTX that it needs to reply with the signal report that they are getting from the fox. Case in point, the fox replied to me that my received signal was negative 6 on 30 meters. I replied to them that they were negative 24. So what happens generally is because they're so backlogged that it takes them a while for them to get to actually processing my call, I end up calling automated about four times. The program just runs for four times and then it stops to allow them time to catch up. What they then send is RR73 or my call sign RR73, which gives WSJTX the notification that the QSO is complete, and then both stations log the QSO. That's it. That's all de-expedition mode is. It's much more. It's a much shorter version of a normal FT8 QSO. So you can see if you see the station here, see somebody's right there. Somebody was calling out in the Fox location. You can actually look them up by going to the hertz, the frequency that they were operating on. This guy was operating on 357 K1RS. So you could look up his call sign, send him a message, and say, "We're clowning you on Hosh Nosy's live stream for doing it wrong." You don't want to do that. Don't be that guy. Don't call out on anything lower than 1000 hertz. Don't call out at all if you can't hear the fox, though. Now, interestingly enough, he is replying with a report, but his report is negative 09. So, out of curiosity, I mean, is that legit K1RS? Is he really hearing the de-expedition? Let's find out. Where is K1RS? K1RS K1RS. Not that. K1RS is in Arizona. Looks like Scottsdale, Arizona. Maybe he is hearing the fox. Maybe. Oops. Let's see if we can find K1RS call sign. Maybe he's got a QRZ. QRZ pages are great where they show a picture of their station, because then you can get a pretty good idea if they are hearing them or not. Who else is calling them? WM6Y. WM6Y, which is a... what is that? Australian? No, United States. Fallbrook, California. So he is outside of Temecula. And he's hearing them, claiming to hear them, at plus six. I don't know if I can believe that. I don't know if I can believe that, to be honest. All right, so now we basically covered, that's basically how you configure WSJTX. I was hoping that there would be a little bit more action on the bands. It doesn't seem to be the case. So we're going to let this run a little bit. Feel free to go come forward with your questions, and I'll try and answer them as we work through this. But I'd like to work a QSO with you so you could see it live. It's pretty straightforward, though. I basically covered it. The name of the game, though, is be patient. Don't try and work more than the app wants you to work. If it stops transmitting, maybe give it a breather. The reason is, if you see, I'm starting to see some speckles. Is it going to come through? It's not going to come through. So right here, there's a little bit of dust. It's possible that that's them, which makes sense. That's been the frequencies, the hertz area that they've been transmitting in. So if you're not getting a good copy on them, don't call, okay? Because basically, if you've got a big boom in station, your signal may be making it to them. They may be seeing your call sign and your grid locator and thinking, he's got a good copy on us, I'm going to reply with his report, and they're wasting their cycles responding to you, who, not actually a good copy, because you're not hearing them. So make sure you're hearing them before you try to call out. And it looks like they're fading out. So just a quick... where is PSK Reporter? So they are still in the day zone, okay? Baker is right here in the crook of the international dateline. They're right here in this right angle. So we may get some gray line action. That would be beautiful. I would love some gray line action. And gray line, for those that are that didn't watch my live stream on propagation from the general license course, the gray line is kind of like a backstop. Imagine a backstop when you were a kid. You'd kick the balls against the backstop or throw baseballs. It's kind of like a catch area for RF. And it seems to help receive signals come in to whatever's hitting the gray line, whatever you're trying to run into. So, good. That's good. Maybe we'll catch them. I've got a couple people replying. KM8AM. KM8AM. Vanity call sign. Ohio. Probably not. Michael the Pyro says, I recently got my tech and really got hooked doing contacts during my club's field day. Good for you. Congratulations. Previously, I was only on the local repeater. What can I do to stay active and keep making contacts? Always have your radio tuned to the 2 meter or 70 centimeter simplex. Okay, 146.520. You'll be surprised how much action shows up on a day-to-day basis. There will be people that you will talk to on that frequency alone, and that is a simplex contact. That counts as just like if you're doing an HF contact or a 6 meter contact or whatever. Since you have your technician license, you have the ability to work 6 meter and 10 meter pretty much to your heart's content. 10 meter, not so great. But 6 meter has had an interesting effect with propagation recently, and there's been some holes that have opened up. The problem with 6 meters is that it's not consistent. You're not going to get consistent performance out of it from any long haul. However, there are used markets you should keep an eye on as far as getting your hands on some equipment. If you have a club, it's possible that they have equipment they want to get rid of, use stuff that they're not using. So always take people up on that kind of stuff if you've got the scratch and you're interested. Also, there is SDRs. I highly recommend people go out and buy an SDR dongle, like the one that's in the Amazon store, linked in the description. That will give you a bit of fun building an HF receive antenna and being able to receive HF. A lot of fun. SDR Play, I actually am probably going to get my hands on one in a little bit to do a review on. I'm very excited about that. They look super cool. So that would be a step up in the SDR department. It's about a $100 device. Powers off of the bus, the USB bus, which is super nice. You don't have to have a separate, you know, plug or anything like that. Works like a lot of the dongles do. Michael Apira says, I have two dongles. Okay, cool. Well, definitely make sure you're checking out the trunking scanner application. You need two SDRs to do it, so that's awesome. Make sure you hit that up. He says, I have a 2 meter repeater always on, and I worked 10 meter during field day. There you go. And Carl says, I plan on getting an amplifier for my Baofeng. Yeah, and he said specifically, for soda activation. So I don't depend on VHF, UHF for soda activations. I use HF. I think you should too. If that means kind of stepping up to get your general, make sure you're following the Ham Radio Crash Course and follow the videos there. Getting the general license, because you really should. If you have aspirations of getting active in soda, or making some really cool contacts like on FT8, you should get your general. I'll just make that statement. General is where you want to be. So I'm not seeing any salt and pepper here, which is a bummer, because I'd like to work them on 40. However, the gray line is coming up. What can I do? Whoa. Zip, zip, zip. You know, I've got some RFI here, or I should show you. Take a look at this. So you might be able to see it. There'll be little zips, little peaks that go flying across the right-hand side of the screen. That is an RFI type issue that I have yet to track down. A little interference we've got. Michael the Pyro asks, what's difficult with 10 meters? Nothing's difficult with 10 meters. 10 meters is great. It's one of the best DX frequencies out there, so long as the sun cycle is supporting it, which the sun cycle is not. It's in its lowest that it's been in a very long time. And the sun cycle are on 11-year cycles. So we're in a particularly bad low point in the sun's natural cycle. Are you trying to get contacts? I'm trying to get one specific contact, Carl. I am trying to work Baker Island in the Pacific Ocean, which is this remote island that no one is on, and they have this 10-day 10-day time that they're on this island to make contacts. So far, they're at like 40,000 contacts. So, I'm trying to get all of them. I'm trying to collect all the FT8 contacts. Right now, I have three. I've got three bands. I've got 17, 20, and 30 meters. Michael the Pyro asked, "What do you mean by that? You will have to be more specific." What do I mean by what? I said a lot. If it's about propagation, particularly the sun cycle, Michael says, "I worked it during field day and had a ton of success all night and day." Sure. I'm not, okay. I'm not arguing with you that you were able to work 10 meters. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm saying the sun, which is what sends out UV radiation, which energizes the layers of our atmosphere, is at the lowest point in its cycle. And the cycle is every 11 years, okay? We're at a low point. When we're at a low point, the low frequency bands are more effective at long distance DX than the high bands are. 10 meters is in the high band, when hence is why it's not the greatest at making long distance communication. It's probably fine for local. In fact, you might have had an NVIS setup, near vertical inductance wave, NVIS. Near vertical inductance something. I did a whole video on propagation for the general class license, probably about two or three videos, three or four videos ago. So if you go to the playlist on getting your general license, look at the propagation, and I think a little bit past the midway point, I talk about the sun cycle. Joe Wilson says, "Hello from KN4KBH." I am curious though, now you've piqued my interest. He says, "Is it just because of my location or because it was a full wave?" Okay, I need way more information. Are you talking about, okay, so one, how much power were you on 10 meters? What kind of antenna? And what is your location? And also, how many contacts did you work over that period and how long? That's a lot of questions, but if you hit me with that, I'll have a pretty good idea. Logan MacGyver, are you trying to make the contact via satellite repeater or with QRP? Neither. I am using a 100 watt 7300 ICOM radio connected to an antenna that's about 40 feet above the ground. Mr. 10 says, "Make a video on a budget radio go box." I don't have any equipment to make that. Ah, Skywave, that was it. Thank you. Near vertical incidence Skywave. That's right. Very good. Thank you for the correction there. I don't want to rehash all the stuff that I did on that propagation video. So go check that out because I cover all that. And I did say the right acronym in that video. So sorry to put you on the spot there, Michael the Pyro. But if you have that information, I can help out a little bit. Yeah, the late night streams are a little bit more relaxed. I pull out my radio voice and we get a little bit serious and then a little calmer. I'm glad you're here for the ride on the ham radio crash course. Here's another one on the smooth jazz station. It's a lot of hurry up and wait. For some people, it's going to be different. Some people are going to have no problem. Funny. I was receiving the Fox, and I was getting their signal report to somebody they were replying to in Hawaii, and they were like 20 over, plus 20. Like, yeah, no crap. They're probably just pointing his beam at him, like, here I come, because Hawaii is. Let me show you the map. Hawaii. So if, whoop, wrong way, wrong way, wrong way. Oh my God, too far. Enhance. Enhance, enhance. So here's Hawaii. I need the dateline. There it is. Baker Island is right here. Wait, Are you seeing that? Let's do it this way. So if this is Hawaii here, in the middle of the Pacific, Baker is just south and west of it. So pretty close, smashing it. Question from Carl. So, what is this WSJTX? WSJTX is a free program that you download that operates your radio on a multitude of modes. In this case, FT8, JT4, JT9, JT9 plus JT65, JT65, Kora 64, is scan or is cat, MSK144. Whisper, which is great. Whisper is a great mode. Echo and Freakout, which I think are not modes. Anyway, FT8 is the mode that's kind of like the super most super popular HF mode right now because again, times are tough. Times are tough with propagation, and so a lot of people are using digital modes because they are more effective when the conditions aren't great. They work in the noise. All right, Michael responded. Standby info on longest contact. Longest contact was 1,400 miles. Oh wait, I'm working on a vertical. With 2 inch. So it was an inverted V. I don't know the power. It was fairly low. I was voice. I had like 30 to 40 contacts. That's very good. That's basically what I did. We're only operating on 10 meters though. Very impressive. Location was Florida aimed north. Cool. Well, that's great. I'm happy for you. I wouldn't be surprised if your longest contact was during the day and you were mostly doing local contacts at night. There's no problem with that. I could be wrong. I could just be taking a gamble and I'm gonna have egg on my face. But there's a science to this, so I'm not like just talking out of my butt. I'm talking about like, hey, this is actually how it works, how propagation works. It's based off of the sun, etc., etc., and we need to adhere to those rules. Not to say you can't, or the fact that there are people out there. Field day is great because there's so many people on the air. You're bound to make a lot of contacts, which is awesome. And Joe Wilson says he's working on a vertical. 40 meters, 20 meters, 17 meters, 12 meters, 10 meters, quarter wave antenna made with 2-inch PVC DWV pipe. Dude, you should get some FT8 going. So some other joker just transmitted on the wrong frequency here. Let's see what he is. Who did that? It looks like it is NI7F, and he's responding with a plus 5. NI7F. Is that a Japanese station? I don't know my prefixes. Nope. Yeah, he's in Texas. That's a little tough for me to believe. Yeah, so people are calling, so it's possible that people are hearing. But the reports on the ground seem to tell me that people are responding, they're calling in the blind, meaning they're just throwing their signals out there and the foxes are responding to them erroneously when the receiving hound can't even hear them. Will there ever be a HF Baofeng. And will I be the next Baofeng man? Anyone can be the next Baofeng man. All you have to do is strap all your radios to your person, have a certain percentage of Baofengs, take a picture of it, and then post it on the Ham Radio Crash Course on Facebook. Michael said, I got Ohio and Illinois at night and kept getting Virginia constantly the whole time. That's very good. That's very good. Congratulations. So it's not a competition. From where I'm at in Southern California, I was getting Eastern New York, Pennsylvania, Florida, pretty consistently. A lot of Illinois, a lot of Ohio. And I was operating on 20 meters. 20 meters is kind of a middle band right now. It has good propagation at night and during the day. Yeah, Logan MacGyver says maybe he isn't in Texas. Maybe he got his call sign in Texas. That is believable. Yeah, that's possible. That's totally possible. Joe Wilson, I am using 4 4-foot arms for the lower meter lengths with a 40 meter running up the middle of the mast. That's pretty ingenious. That's cool. It's kind of like a discone almost. So you can see it's just saturated from these calls that are calling KH7Z, KH7Z, KH7Z. Most reports of people that I've been talking to online seem to believe that those people are just calling in the blind. Again, if you're using a big booming signal, which some of these, looking at the waterfall here, some of these people are, like, that's a big station right there, at least to me. I could go look at who called at that particular time and what hertz they were on and look at their call sign and get a good idea of where their geographic location is. Then you can get a pretty good sense of how much power they're putting off. Michael the Pyro says, our tower was getting Midwest, but fixed antennas were all facing north. That's pretty awesome. Yeah, it sounds like you got a pretty good club. I'd stick with those guys. I'd definitely stick with those guys. Sounds like they got their act together. I also got Hawaii too, but that's all single sideband, but that's not that big a deal from California. It's a little like cheating. Be nice if I think I got like only one Canadian contact. Those are always good to get. How many people do we have watching right now? I should be working on the newsletter for the patrons. But I really wanted to get this information out there to help people. So I hope it helps. Most likely if you've stuck around this long, and we're only interested in the WSJTX talk, the settings and configuration talk's pretty much out of the way. I explained how to operate with it. So, you know, feel free to use that. But at this point, we're just kind of doing an online stream rag chew while hoping for the bands to open up. For the 37 people watching, thank you. If you could, give me a thumbs up. I'd appreciate it. What do we got in the live control room here? Oh, nice. They hit up Washington. That's very good. Joe Wilson said, my club had, if I'm right, had over 1,600 contacts for last field day. That's impressive. Anthony, man, that's so crazy. Hello from New Zealand. It is 5:45 p.m. on Tuesday night. What? It always cracks me up when I'm working people in New Zealand and Japan, because they're tomorrow. Like, well, hello. It is 10:46 p.m. on the west coast of California, Monday. I wish it was Tuesday evening, because that means the 4th of July is on Wednesday for the States, and I'd have the day off. Michael the Pirate, can't wait until next field day. It was so fun. We tried but failed. Sat too. Next year should be much cooler. Dude, I agree. Yeah, I love field day so much because it's like you get all your friends together and you can just geek out on all the things that like people are into. Some guys like satellites. Everybody geeks out together because they're all helping to earn points together. Some people like HF single sideband. Some people are diehard CW operators and are really good at it. And you're like, yeah, CW operators are the meat and potatoes of field day. We need to put that guy in a key. Yes, beautiful. Love that. So much fun. I'm probably going to end up putting some kind of satellite rig together for the next go. See, because it's tricky, because I think that you don't really get a ton of bonus. You get one bonus for doing sat. One contact's all you really need to get the bonus points. Speaking of that, I need to submit my log. I uploaded my logs, but I haven't put together my submission pack. I ran entirely off of solar panels and 12-volt battery. Great. Ran 100 watts all day. Wonderful. On a portable dipole antenna. Michael says, I made a bike generator for it so we could get alternate energy contacts. Awesome. Logan MacGyver, I'm from Hungary and it's 7:45 on the morning Tuesday. Awesome. Very cool. All right. Well, I'm out of wine, so if you hang tight, I'm going to let you look at my radio, and I'll go get another glass. I'll be right back. I just rolled over my foot. I decided to cut out the middleman. Just go get the box. So I can show you too. Alright. I got a couple of, here we go. Red wine. 3 liters. 3 liters of California's finest wine in a box, boy. Ooh, yeah! I definitely watched wrestling as a kid. Justin Moyers is in the house. What's up, bud? Joe Wilson says, we were on 40-meter CW and phone 20, 15, 10, FDR. You were on FDR? Wait, what? And 2 satellite tracking stations, one being handheld, and the other was computer-guided. Nice. That's a nice system. So here's the thing. I've seen enough call reports, and I've seen enough little peppery flakes in this quadrant, the 0 to 500 hertz quadrant, that I'm thinking they're working 40. And I'm going to stick around for a little bit. I probably got another hour in me before I got to go to bed. How many minutes we're rolling on here? 40 minutes so far. Why not we just keep going? Again, if you've stuck this far with just trying to make a FT8 work, the first half of the video is probably covering everything you need. FLD. Okay, good. FLDigi? Is that what you mean? FLDigi? So you're working like PSK31? So I tell you what, I had my laptop all configured to work FT8, and I just had so much fun with single sideband, and after about the 10th hour of streaming, I was just like, I'm tired. I had big goals that I was just going to, like, I don't know, go to sleep and then wake back up and keep operating, but I was like, I did it. I came, I saw, I got a lot of good contacts, long-distance contacts, you know, United States long-distance contacts. I felt good. I was like, okay, I'll leave it at that. As a one-man show, streaming and also operating the radio, trying to do all the things was a lot in one day. Got it. FLDigi. Yeah, FLDigi is another program kind of like WSJTX that there's a lot of different modes it can operate in. I guess I could just go closer. Enhance. How's the look on this one? Oh, it's too close. Evacuate. So you can see now that activity on the waterfall is all the people that are piling up now on the FT8 frequency I'm on. And if you look at the band conditions, good on 40. Take that for what it's worth. A lot of this... Somebody's on the wrong freak. Okay. So hounds operate on 1 50-second cycle. Foxes operate on another 15-second cycle. That's why you're seeing these striations of black lines. That's the fox time cycle. Somebody is transmitting on the fox time cycle, and I could hear the audio. That's the fox time cycle right now that you're listening to. Somebody's got their timing wrong. And it is KG6NK. So go make fun of him. The Tinkering Corner asks, what do people do with FT8? People do digital ham radio contacts with FT8. Their QSOs are entirely in FT8. That's what they do with it. FT8 is like shorthand text message contacts on digital HF radio. That's exactly what it is. I like it because it gives me an understanding of how well my station is getting out there. That's one of the things I like about FT8. I'm posting the Discord chat so that people know I'm Oh, I don't know what that was. Somebody just rolled the dial as they were going, they're like, I'm out of here. Record scratch. It's like a cacophony of noise when it's a standard FT8. It's like, and then there's a pause, and then it just goes back and forth and back and forth. Right now it's silent because it's 15 seconds of waiting for the fox to call, and the fox isn't calling. So FT8 frequencies are all set by default unless you're using de-expedition mode. And the de-expedition mode are usually offset. Frequencies in and around the default set. Martin, greetings from Belgium from ON4 Laugh Out Loud. I guess I'll need to play catch up at work to see the whole video. Yeah, we're just talking FT8, particularly for the people that are trying to work the de-expedition mode in FT8. I thought that people could use a little bit more practical. Some of my lessons learned from operating with some of the de-expedition sites with it, because it is kind of new. So just want to remind people, call when you can actually decode the station that you're trying to receive. Don't call in the blind, you know. This is going to be more of an evergreen video that people will watch when they start playing around with de-expedition mode. David the meme lord. It's 2 a.m. but I guess I'll watch now. Damn. Sorry, man. It's a late stream. I got the kids to bed and I threatened to do this stream because really I'm having a blast with FT8 and I wanted to like let people know what it is I'm doing, trying to get the de-expedition contacts. Michael the Pyro says, he made a couple of comments, but He said he started on 80 and 40, and when we were up on the roof doing sat, we realized it was one quarter wave 80 and 40, so I decided to try full wave 10 and 20, and that worked much better. Yeah, there you go. Once he tried 10 and 20, we actually were heard. Very good. More effective use of them waves. Them waves, though. So, for everybody, it's just like, why isn't he doing anything? I'm not doing anything because there's nothing to do yet. For those that are watching this late or coming into the stream a little late. The left-hand side of the waterfall here is the 0 to 500 hertz space. That is reserved for the foxes when they call the foxes, when they call CQ, or when they respond to hounds who are calling them. In this case, the foxes are not being received, at least by me. Martine asks, are you going to do SOTA with FT8? I would love to, although it doesn't seem like people have figured out completely if there's a special way you need to do contacts with FT8 in SOTA. I guess you don't, but at the same time, there's a certain fun to having chasers chase you on SOTA. And if I set up a portable station and I just start working FT8 and I'm on a hill, I'm going to get a lot of contacts, and it's not going to be chasers. It's just going to be randos, which is fine for me getting my activation, but it's not helping out the chasers. So I don't know how that's going to work. I guess I could set up a Fox and Hound FT8. I could try that. I've got a mini Ubuntu laptop, like a little tiny guy that I can use. That might be fun. I might think about just doing that. That'd be kind of cool. I have to drag out that interface though for the Zaiju. I should look into that. I am going to do San Gabriel Mountain here in about a week or so. I believe that's an 6 or 8 pointer. Pretty excited about that. Still not getting anything, so no replies, no reports. So let's, for the heck of it, let's hop over to the 80s. What'd they say they were on? Oh, let's go to 357. Nada. Now we're on 80. Nada. I have a feeling tomorrow they'll be on 80. 1680 tomorrow. Today is the day for 40 meters. So if you're going to do 40 meters, I think it's today. It's where the people seem to be, at least. Yeah, Michael, I know. I've been talking to Jerry. Jerry's got the same problem. He wants to retire in Florida. So he's trying to get the SOTA bug out of his system, so that he can retire in Florida and not have SOTA. But I guess what he was looking at is some of the states bordering Florida. We were talking online with Tom, who's on the Ham Radio Crash Course, that he travels up there to get to some of the hiking areas. Martine, great question. There is not currently an FT8. Software on an iPhone or Android. David, the meme lord, I am using that their special de-expedition mode of the WSJTX for FT8. Yeah, I'm using the special fox and hound mode. For hounds, it doesn't look that different. Fox is different. Georgia the country or Georgia the state? Also, POTA is an option. POTA. Parks on the Air. There you go. I'm thinking. Yeah, Parks on the Air. You can go crazy with FT8. Parks on the air, POTA. Also, potato on the air. That requires a potato gun, though. We're not getting any... Let's switch over to the waterfall here, see if we can see something on the waterfall. So we're not looking for the big white strip. We're going to wait for it to die down and just look. Look for any little blips. Not a damn thing. Watch when it kicks up. Yeah, Walmart parks on the air. Woomploda. Oh, I love it. I am thinking very seriously about taking some of my channel dollars here. I was going to save up. Well, I should do this. This is the responsible human being thing to do. Is get a proper RAID and start archiving a lot of my streams and my other videos in a safer spot than I have, which is kind of like offloading them to disk, which is okay. Disk meaning hard drives, like multiple hard drives. I would like to get a RAID, so... Arrow antenna with the duplexer, VHF, UHF duplexer, or RAID. Arrow antenna, RAID. You know what I need to do? I think I might be able to make this happen too. I gotta go back to, well, so I will mention this. This Saturday, Anaheim, California, Ham Radio Outlet, I will be there. Gordon West will be there. And I'll be attending the Ham Jam. It starts at like 10:30 a.m. and goes to like 5 p.m. And I will be there for some part of that day, having fun with everybody there. And there's going to be a lot of things going on. So if you are in Anaheim, California, or any HRO area for that matter, I believe they're having a Ham Jam across all their locations. I will be there, though, for Anaheim. Very excited. I went 2 years ago. It was very cool. A lot of fun. Gordon West shows up in his... crazy mobile van. Michael the Pyro, RAID is not good for backups. Get a $70 4 terabyte HHD and set it to mirror. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing, actually. So, I guess you sold me on the Arrow antenna. I'm sorry, not RAID. I don't mean RAID. I mean NAS, Network Attached Storage. Sorry, not RAID. NAS. Sorry, I'm helping my wife build out a server, and I'm explaining RAID to her, and so that's why I've got RAID on the mind. NAS, Network Attached Storage. Yeah, don't flame me in the comments. I meant Network Attached Storage. Okay, I'm done with the Acer hat. It's getting too hot. I think the wife turned off the air conditioner. My radio says yes. Oh, I wonder what... I should pull up UTC time. Michael DePiro. Ah, makes much more sense. Yeah, sorry. Sorry about that. Let's see. What is UTC time right now? We might have a rare... No. No, it's 6. Meh. Oh, yeah. Never mind. I never understand if heavenly bodies are they offsetting the time of passes to my time, or are they showing UTC time? I'd much rather everything was in UTC time. It makes it much easier. If they're offsetting it to my time, then the next pass is in 4-6 hours. So, screw that. Oh! I see some activity. Right here. Come on. Come on. Right there. Right there. Oh, some people are replying with reports. That's a KF6 and a KF7. Those are localists. Ha 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 ha. Nor Naz, more like Nass. Yeah. Network attached super storage. Okay, so. That's people are responding with reports. K6RWL. Oh, come on, buddies. Come on now, buddies. You can see it. You can actually see that on the stream. Right there. That's something. Who called that out? Oh, that's some idiot. There was... Never mind. Never mind. Oh my god. Somebody just... Did I slip into the wrong mode? Somebody just called CQ New Caledonia. No. No. Wait. Wait, should I? FK8CE. What the hell? FK8CE. Oh, great. QRZ is down for maintenance. Jeez. Wait, what? Is he also New Caledonia? Is he running... I maybe shouldn't be doing this, but... I don't know if he's gonna get me. Let's see. People are gonna be like, get the hell out of here. Okay, I'll just call the once and I'll leave it off. I don't want to be that guy that's clogging up the frequency and be like, what's this all about? The Tinkering Corner asks, what is Friday's stream going to be about? Good question. The Patreon, it's Patreon pick. First stream of the month, the patrons pick. And, right now, well, I'll show you. Hold on. Let me pull up the website while you guys look at my mug. Some people are now making their own custom messages on FT8. That's cute. I haven't looked at this really today, so I don't know. I don't know what they voted. I pick... oh yeah, you guys are getting an insider view at this. If you're not a patron, then you're not going to see this. Okay. Oh, there seems to be a competition afoot. Okay, so I ask, what should we do? I ask, what should we do a Friday stream on? And the topics were simple VHF, UHF antenna builds, attic, small room, small space antennas for HF, digital modes, assuming HF. FT8, nobody cares about that. SDR discussion, not bad. Fox hunting, radio direction finding, and then SSTVs. Nobody has voted for that, which is interesting. So it looks like there's a competition between the first two, which was what I expected. That's why I put them in the first two. Simple VHF antenna builds and attic, small room, small space antennas for HF. Excuse me. So it looks like the HF party. People are bringing the HF love, which I like. I'm glad. Here's what I'm super excited about. I like the fact that people have been watching the Crash Course. They're getting their licenses. They're getting their generals. And they're starting to show real interest in HF. I'm super excited about that. Because right now, the way the licenses are set up, they're not very conducive to get people involved with HF. And if there aren't people out there showing people what HF is, how it works, what its value is, how far you can talk, then nobody really has a reason. They're just like, I'll just use DMR and analog VHF, UHF repeaters, and I'm happy for the rest of my days. I'm not that way. I want to show people like everything I can. And so for me, I'm a big advocate of HF because I think while ham radio is fun at the technician level, it doesn't really begin until you hit general. Like, that's why I really, really, really push everybody that follows the Ham Radio Crash Course to get their general. Get to general. Like, get to general. Seriously, get to general. The Tinkering Corner, I got very interested in HF by your field. So that's awesome. I'm glad that worked. I hope in the future you find a club. You go out there and you find something that, you know, some people work in that you can work with. Michael the Pyro, hey guys, I have a full 2-wave, 2-meter ladder line antenna. What is the best way to keep it vertical on my roof? I know PVC is probably the right answer. How can I tell what PVC has less RF interference? The smallest of the schedule PVCs that you can get your hands, the schedule 40, I think is one of the standard. I'd use schedule 40 and get a 1/2 inch or 3/4 inch. Yeah, 86 dm. If I was a much more smarter person, I would have set up some kind of poll to where we could ask people, like, did I influence you in getting the license, and check a box so I could keep a tally? At this point, though, I'm guessing it's well into the hundreds, which makes me feel good. But I'm just glad that people are interested in something that I'm, like, really passionate about, so... I'm arranging something with my college club. Maybe they will let me use their equipment to make some contacts. Oh, if they've got it. Yeah. Yeah. That's what you want. Work with the club, man. Use their stuff. Also, they might sell me a nice Kenwood HF radio. Hell yeah. There you go. So I can't tell you. You know, I still haven't done it. I still haven't done it. I should do this. I really should. I just do it for me. I'm a big lover of shortwave handheld radios. Like, the old school, not old school, they're still new. They're still, like, hundreds of, you know, in some cases over $100. You know, shortwave radios, you attach a random wire to it, just get really good receive off of it. Some of them do single sideband. Stop it! Stop calling CQ. Apparently I've already worked at Caledonia Station, so I should stop even messing around with this stuff. I'm a big fan of little portable, you know, single sideband radios. And I think SDRs have kind of stepped on them a bit, but I don't think people really... The portability of shortwave radios is something that I've always really, really liked. I've loved that factor in them. So... I should just do a video talking about them. But there's already so many people who do it so much better than me, believe it or not. The Two Hands in a Radio channel on YouTube, I mentioned them before. He does such a good job with radios. He's got a really good... And that's what he... What a gun with the New Caledonia! He's got a really good kind of voice and demeanor for shortwave radio, I feel. Plus, I think shortwave's kind of a... The young people don't seem to be that into it. I mean... I'm down with the SDRs, don't get me wrong, but SDRs open up many more doors in terms of digital modes, all kinds of other things. Where's my box? Get my box here. All I'm doing is drinking wine and not actually producing any content. If this was just a stream of me doing FT8, I probably would have 20 contacts at least by this point. I just want these contacts so bad. I'm almost freaking myself out that I'm on the wrong... No, okay. I'm like, am I on the wrong frequency? Why am I getting so many people that are calling CQ? Yeah, seriously, people are responding to each other. Martine, off to work. Keep up great work and sleep tight when you go to bed. Thank you, man. Joe Wilson asks, Kenwood, or just states, Kenwood Icom Yesu. That is working. Is that a question, or are you making a general statement? So, I gotta be honest. When people say used HF radios, it's a pretty open-ended question. What do you want to do with it? Do you want to predominantly do digital modes? That narrows your use market considerably. If you just want to do CW, Hooman opens up all kinds of doors. If you're a single sideband guy only, or you kind of want an all-mode, shack-in-a-box kind of HF radio, great, there's lots of options for that. If you're an AM-only guy, although if you're watching my channel and you're an AM-only guy, all right, you're the only one. We found you. No offense to AM guys. I just think that that's probably not my core demographic. Oh, my God, with the CQs. What have I done? Oh, well, one. Okay, well, let me get back down in the... There's the receive side. Oh, my God, look at the waterfall. I didn't really stop to look at the waterfall in a while. This thing's smashed. There's so many people monitoring 40 meters right now. Okay, I do want to show you one thing for, because we are going a little bit long here. I might as well show you the cluster. The cluster. Where's the other? Did I close the other websites? There it is. Nope, that's not it. Don't look at that. That's the newsletter. There it is. All right. So here's the cluster, or what will be the cluster. Give me a second. Back on Club Log, go to the DX cluster. Cluster is like packet radio. Wow, they don't have anything... Baker's not on here. What's going on? There's no clusters for Baker. So, there's all kinds of, like, Telnet servers set up for cluster information. And it's kind of like real-time reporting of contacts. You can, if you look up DX clusters, DXCCs, you can, once you work HF, if you're working long DX hall clusters, people go in there and they tell each other, like, oh, hey, I work so-and-so on this, and they're really easy for me, and blah, blah, blah is my QTH, my location. And that seems to help people a lot. But I don't know what's going on right now. There's no cluster, Baker Island cluster. See, these are some of the clusters. I have that link there for a reason. I need to learn more about clusters. So we want DX cluster for Baker Island. Come on now. My dog is trying to get out of here. Let's go to dxwatch.com. Good day from Australia, Steve P. What is up? Are you trying to work Baker Island? Because you're closer than me. You should be able to kill it. No filter, all spots. Search spot by call sign. So we want, what are they? KH7Z. KH7Z. Okay, so they're all today. Any chance someone CW? FT8. That was yesterday. Or today? 14 Zulu. So. Not helpful. Not helpful, to be honest. Joe Wilson says, all mode. Joe, sorry, I kind of bailed on you there for a second. How much money are you looking at spending? What's your budget? Also, Michael the Pyro says, you mentioned a shortwave radio before. What exactly is that? A shortwave radio is like a handheld portable radio that works on the shortwave bands. Shortwave bands are basically like the ham bands, but they're in their own slices and spaces. A lot of shortwave radios can receive radio signals from the ham bands as well. They're just receivers. AD6DM, nothing recent on FT8, CWCQ on 1423 from KH7Z about 45 minutes ago. Yep. The tinkering corner's gotta go. All right, take it easy, man. Well, I'm also fading here a little bit. I guess I gotta finish my glass of wine. Oh. I see. So, I mean, you know what they say about radio is you want to spend almost as much as you spent on your radio on your antenna. So, buying used is good. If you can take some of that money and pile it into a good antenna. Use odd. That's funny. Gosh. I can't think of one particular HF unit to look into. I'd look into something that was probably not a tube transceiver. I think that there's no reason why you can't have something that's all newish technology, all IC chip based. If you can get something with a little bit of DSP, digital signaling processing, you'd be good. Yeah, Joe, I think your best bet is going to be working with a club. I always say that to people, like, particularly when they're not exactly positive of what they want. And clubs are great because oftentimes if there is somebody that's selling something, they're very familiar with it. And they'll probably be willing to sit down with you, set it up, and show you how it works, how it functions, that it works. If you're not already, I'd reach out to a club. Find a club. Well, I support that. He says, I am, that is why I'm building my own home built antenna. So that's good. Just hoping they come around on us here. It looks like people are here. They're fronting like they hear them. They're acting like they hear them. I don't know if they're hearing them. What is the radio you want? Sounds like there's one in your mind that you're looking at. I know what I want, but the price is the hard part. Yeah, that sounds like life. That sounds like life in a nutshell, my friend. I've been looking at that LaFerrari, but the price is the hard part. Oh. What was that? Oh, I was on the wrong. So mad. K7WM, get out of here. Oh, he can hear him. Okay, he can hear him. I think he can hear him. K7WM. I gotta look him up. Where's he at? See, the reason I look him up is that gives me an idea if I'm gonna be in range of them. Okay? K6WM or K7WM? Where'd you go? K7WM. I think I've seen this guy's call sign before. Arizona. P.O. box, though, so can't be too sure. Oh, come on, buddy. He's hearing them. So it's possible. It's possible that as the effect of the sun starts to roll over the top of me from Arizona, I'll be in range to get them. Maybe. That's the idea, anyway. Carl asks, why does the band matter? So I mentioned it before. I did a video on propagation about 3 or 4 videos ago from the general class license book. Go watch that video. Band matters because certain bands are better in the daytime and certain bands are better at the nighttime. Certain bands are more affected by the different layers of the atmosphere. Certain bands are not. And certain bands like a highly energized atmosphere during, you know, a high level of solar activity, some don't. So made a whole video on that. And we are in a solar low, so the low bands are the effective bands as of this point. Joe Wilson says, I've seen some radios on eBay, but I am scared to buy them. To be honest, I would be too. That's why I mentioned clubs, because you can go talk to the people that own the radios. Swap meets are tough too, because they're like, oh yeah, it works. Why don't you pay me the cash and then walk away and then not come back because of this broken radio I just sold you. Oh, I understand. Yeah, I know what you meant. I want this so bad. I'm gonna stream until I get it. Maybe not that long. I may have to give up. I really don't want to give up, though, because I really want 40 meters. I'd like... So, 40... the upper level of my antenna is about 40 meters where I feel that it works really well. The furthest I think I've ever gotten out on 80 meters with my antenna is North Dakota. which is not far. It's definitely not Baker Island far. And that was putting out my full 100 watts, and I think she had to turn around a beam to get me. All the high bands. You can play around in the high bands during the day, but they're no bueno right now for. So generally, you want to work 20, 40, and 80 right now are the most popular bands to me. Joe says, I've been looking at the Icom 7300 and I like the feel of it. You know who else likes the feel of it? This guy. I love the 7300. I don't want to give away too much of the newsletter, but I talk a little bit about Field Day. I've had buyer's remorse on lots of products I've purchased, thinking that I would get 100% of the functionality set that I wanted, and I only ended up with like 75%. I feel like I've gotten exactly what I wanted from the 7300, and still it surprised me with little things that, little bells and whistles that I really, really like, really enjoy. I'm so glad I bought this radio. I really, really like the 7300. I can't say enough about it. Now, at the same time, prices are coming down. The used 7300s are showing up for under $1,000. So Joe, you mentioned eBay. I would avoid eBay, and I'd start watching the QRZ, right? Quebec Uniform Z. QR, no, Romeo Z. Why did I think uniform? QRZ website. Go to their swap meet page. It's a part of their forum, and people post things that they have for sale that are used. You probably will pay a little bit more, but you're going to get a better product. In fact, the Icom 2730 that I bought, the VHF UHF radio, came from QRZ. Good price. It's a good price. So Carl says, with my Baofeng, I'm trying to maximize its range, so I changed its antenna. I'm getting an amp and a lot more. So Carl, as much as I like the Baofeng, there's a certain point where I say to myself, I'm going to stop messing with the Baofeng. Baofeng's a 4-watt, some cases 8-watt radio, and that's maybe it. If you're talking about in your car, you want a mobile amp for the Baofeng, I can understand it. The problem is that constantly changing and disconnecting and hooking up things on the Baofeng, not a great thing. You need to get a BNC connector if you're going to do that. And then, really, you should probably just look at getting a standalone mobile radio that can go in your car. That's really where you want to be. You should have a standalone radio in your car if you want to keep working repeaters and all that stuff. You know? I hope you understand what I'm saying. Not to say you can't just have one radio, but by the time you've spent money on getting all this stuff for the Baofeng, including an amp, which I think is only going to get you like 30 watts, you might as well just get a mobile for the same price. Nah, there it is. To be honest with you, I'd rather you get the 25-watt mobile radio than to put an amp on a Baofeng. That's just me personally. I'd rather you do that. My first radio I liked before I bought one was the GD77. So the GD77 is getting a lot of really good reviews. People are really happy with it. It's the Radiodity DMR radio, right? I've been told by all of the admins on the Discord that it is the radio that I should get rid of all my DMR radios and just get that. It's a nice, it's inexpensive, easy to program, good radio. Michael says, Is there any base stations for a Baofeng so I don't have to use the battery? I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you mean. Base station. Like a mobile radio? All radios are DC power, so you either pipe a battery into it with a connector, or you buy a power supply that has a DC output. Yes, 86DM QRZ is down. I already said that on the chat, but regardless, that's where you want to be. Well, this is... I was hoping to get this done before midnight, my time. Yeah, we're still streaming. I'm still trying to get this contact on FT8. Oh, my wife is saying hello. My wife! Oh, yeah. AD6DM, if you, for the reasons that you mentioned, you don't like DMR, you should look at the FT2DR by Yaesu. It's awesome. It is awesome for that reason. You don't have to mess with any of that talk group crap. You just load repeaters, you hit a button, and it joins the CRFM, something like that. It joins that side of the repeater, and you can just hit whatever talk group you want to join. Very, very cool. That's a great radio. The APRS in that thing works perfectly. The GPS functions better than my D72, and the APRS works better. Love it. Charlie, you want to get out of here? No. So, Joe, I appreciate that you talked to somebody in Hawaii. You didn't go one-to-one to Hawaii. You went through the internet. That's not to rain on your parade. It's still good that you were able to do that. But it's a bit of a difference, right? If the internet were to go down, we'd lose all that capability in DMR. So I want everybody to understand that. Okay, Michael was about the mobile Baofeng thing. I was hoping to put the mobile in my truck so I can reliably talk to the repeater while mobile, but I don't want to kill my Baofeng battery by keeping it on. Yeah, absolutely. So get a mobile and connect it to the car battery. Car battery will be recharged by the alternator, and you're good to go. Carl asks, what is a good HT for survival or trekking in a remote location? Well, the Yaesu FT2DR. I have no affiliation with Yaesu. I love that radio. It is now my everyday radio. I take it with me everywhere. I have it on all the time. I freaking love it. It is submersible somewhat. You can't just dunk it, but... it's splash proof, splash resistant, I guess, is the term they use. Great. It's like a $400 radio, though, when you apply taxes. I get that. I get it. I appreciate that. A buttload of Baofengs would be my go-to survival radio if cough was a problem. And buy a waterproof bag and put it in the waterproof bag. Read first message. My issue is I have two radios, one mobile and one Baofeng. I only live 2 miles from the repeater, so the Baofeng can reliably hit it, and the mobile that is 70 watts max is overkill. So run the mobile on 10 watts. I guess I don't... There's some kind of nuance in there I think you know that I don't know. you have a mobile that has 70 watt output, which is awesome. That's awesome. But you don't want to waste a bat. Are you talking about your car battery? I know you're saying mobile in the sense that maybe that to you means that car battery, but I've got a mobile in my desk that I run off of off of a power supply. But just want to make sure I understand. Car versus local power supply or battery. I don't know. Well, this is going to be a long stream. How many people we got watching right now? If you're new to the stream, please give me a thumbs up. Yeah, Joe, no, I copy. Yeah, I appreciate you understand. So Michael's saying, I was hoping there was like a DC in option to bypass the battery. Bypass the battery with what? I'm still not getting it. Are you talking about your home or a car? I know people think that just assume mobiles are only for cars, but that's not the case. You can buy a power supply, run AC power into the power supply, and feed DC to a mobile. If you mean your car, you don't want to do that. You want to plug your radio directly to the battery. And if you think your battery's about to die, you need to start your car and let the alternator recharge it. So Michael the Pyro is saying, okay, I want the higher capable power one in the truck. The Baofeng I want in the house, hooked to an antenna that is outside, but keeping it on all of the time waiting for activity. Yes. You are right, yes. Get another mobile radio and use that in the house. I mean, the reality is, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, well, you could just put the Baofeng in the cradle. Cradle will charge the battery, but no, I guess you could still do that. So just plug your Baofeng into whatever your home antenna is. Plug the Baofeng into the cradle. Cradle will keep the Baofeng charged. Baofeng can operate in receive mode while taking a charge off the cradle. I've heard people had issues with that, like they've burnt up radios doing that. Your mileage will vary. So he's saying, so I have a mobile radio station as my home base station running off an external car battery. Cool. So connect a trickle charger to the car battery and run your radio off the battery as well, off the same terminals. That's it. Or get a power supply. Get a AC to DC power supply. Or build one out of an old computer power supply. What was that? Did you hear that? Titter. Well, we're going to end this at 12, no matter what happens. I was really hoping to make this contact, but people are acting like, no, -7 is just not possible. Somebody's saying, well, wait, ZL2CC. All right, ZL2CC, I got to look into this. New Zealand. Oh, man. That guy's, yeah. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. That guy's got a big old Yagi and a whole shack full of equipment. Yeah, he's killing it. So am I picking him up? That's cool. So that's cool. I'm picking him up at -15 dB. He's replying to Baker Island saying they're coming in at 6 dB. So they're definitely there. I would trust a New Zealander. Something you can think about, Michael, is, look for a cheap solar panel. Okay, so he's asking, I just want to figure out a way to keep the Baofeng as the home station without destroying the battery. So, until you actually know that leaving the Baofeng on the charger while on will destroy the battery, I don't know that. I have no evidence to support that. I've left Baofengs on overnight on the charger and nothing's burnt up. I know you're talking about more than that, but I don't know. I guess I'm of the opinion that mobiles were meant to be left on, and Baofengs weren't made to be left on. So, I mean, if you want to stretch that out of a Baofeng, I'm not against it, but I just don't think that was its use case when it was designed. So I'm kind of like, see if you can find a cheap mobile and do it that way. HTs are supposed to be when you're like man portable, to me. Right? 'Cause you got a good antenna, right? You got a base station antenna, hooking that up to a Baofeng is kind of like putting a V6 in a DeLorean. I know that's what he did, but it's kind of like, what did you do here? Well, what a bummer. So, I'm just not seeing them. I'm just not seeing anything. Seems like nobody else is either. I'm not seeing any reports. I saw that one. So it's kind of interesting. I was able to decode the New Zealand contact, but I'm not able to decode Baker. So, don't know. My wife texted me. I'm responding to her. Michael the Pyro says our club was doing a test of the local hospital emergency communications, and all their handhelds died in minutes because of overcharging. I think I'm just going to have to buy a crap battery to sacrifice. I need way more information than that. Are these like 10-year-old radios that have been on chargers like this whole time? And they took them off a charger that's been sitting on for years and it just died. Biker Bob, what's up, buddy? You came right towards the end of the stream, but appreciate you hopping on. Good to see you. I'm really curious. All their handheld batteries died in minutes. Super old batteries? There's probably some piece of information I'm not getting there. What a letdown. I was hoping to be all slick and be like, this is how you set up WSJTX. And then switch over and be like, boom, 40 meters, let's do it. But it's all right, it's happened. So basically, thanks, man. Thanks for the thumbs up. So basically, we covered the settings of how to set up WSJTX in hound mode. Fox mode's a bit different. I haven't been in that situation. Most of you will be in hound mode. Keep in mind, the Fox space is 500 hertz and lower. Hound space, you want to be above 1000 hertz. set your hold down shift and click the area that you want to operate in, which will move your transmit bar, remember transmit bar, red bar, over to that area, and you'll transmit from there. The worst thing you could possibly do is transmit in the Fox space. Make sure you are in the Hound space, not the Fox space, okay? Just to recap. Michael the Pyro, Baofeng's left on charger over a year and not touched until the test. It was around 30 radius. That I believe. I don't think you're surprised by that, though, right? And I don't think that's what you're proposing here. Are you proposing that? I don't think you are. If that's the case, just get a mobile, man. We're dancing around the same idea. Buy a cheap Chinese mobile radio and just connect it to a battery and a charger or a solar panel, or get a power supply and connect it to that. It's a little bit more money, sure, but you're going to get a better radio. It is best to get replacement batteries. Well, yeah. Yes, it's good to get replacement batteries for your radio, but at the same time, we don't also want to just kill the radio battery. All right, well, we dove off the deep end a little bit there for everybody that made it through. I think I'm going to end it right now. It just doesn't look like it's going to happen. Propagation is just not opening up for me, which is sad because I wanted to do it. I wanted to get this contact online. But hopefully we covered what is the cheapest mobile run. I don't know. I think the 25-watt mobile is in the area of somewhere between $75 and $100 on Amazon. Yeah. You know, one of the things that's good about mobiles is they have way more memory channels and they have way more power. Way more power. Well, there you go. See if you can get another mobile. All right, I'm going to leave it at that, I think. Yeah. Hope that was helpful. If everybody made it this far, kudos to you that are watching this after the fact, streaming live. Thank you, everybody in the chat. Michael the Pyro, Bike Bob came in. We got Joe. Where was another man? Carl. Carl Ng. Lots of other people showed up in the chat. Appreciate it. This is an off-nominal stream. Not normally going to do this, but we got that de-expedition going on, and I wanted to try and help out as many people as possible because there's only like 2 days left. So, also, this is still going to be effective for all the other de-expeditions you want to do. So, setting up in de-expedition, this is what you want to do. And this is kind of what it looks like. It's kind of like fishing. Get it set up and then wait, depending on where you live and where that de-expedition is. All right, with that, I'll leave it. Thank you, everybody in the chat. Got a lot of good comments there, and they're still coming. 73 is to everybody. Till the next time. I will be streaming again on 7 p.m. Friday. Topic still yet to be decided. On the Patreon, link in the description, there's a competition going for what the next topic will be, and it looks like a very heated competition between VHF homebrew antennas and HF antennas for small spaces. Both are good topics. Only one can win. Who will? The patrons will decide, because it's patron picks this Friday, 7 p.m. at Friday. Well, I already said that. All right, that's going to do it. That's my cue to leave. All right, guys, take it easy. See ya.